Gambling has changed. It used to be you'd lose your money on slots in Vegas, but today, not only can you do that, you can also bet on your favorite sports team, on the opening coin toss, on this individual pitch, or on all three in a parlay. You can do it from your phone, your tablet, your Apple Watch. You don't just have to gamble on sports. You can gamble on esports, on video game items, on slots with those items. You can do it in Roblox or on regular stocks, on meme stocks. Gamble with calls. Gamble on earning calls. Gamble on calls with earning calls. You can gamble on political events, world events. You can bet if Zelensky's going to wear a suit before July, if Jerome Powell's going to say inflation 50 or 60 times in September. And you don't just have to gamble on that. You can gamble on crypto coins, Trump coin, Dogecoin, Farcoin. You can gamble on the champion of Farcoin coin. And you can gamble on any of the posts the champion of Farcoin has ever made on whether they will become popular or not. And if none of that's your cup of tea, you can also just gamble directly within your banking app on a game of roulette, like a gentleman. And don't even get me started on the ads. If you turn on sports, esports, podcasts, not even my favorite political show is safe.
Shout out to Prize Picks, the best app to fire on sports in the game.
You will be bombarded with gambling ads by every famous person you've ever heard of.
DraftKings.
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 DraftKings Sportsbook.
DraftKings Sportsbook.
Uh-oh. How did we get here? And is it a good thing that we're turning every spare moment of our lives into a game of chance? I'm betting no. There are three things responsible for gambling becoming more mainstream, but the first and biggest trend is simply the mainstream becoming more like gambling. See, Silicon Valley learned a decade ago that gambling mechanics are incredibly good for user retention, so they put them everywhere. Let's say you're shopping online. Well, now you can spin a wheel to unlock prizes. Or if you're playing video games, you can open a loot box, get some randomized items. You can even use those items as virtual currency in a casino we've made a three-part series about. Or maybe you don't have a problem with loot boxes for adults, but we've also put them in kids' video games because, you know, gotta start them young. Roblox is the largest game for minors, and they are stuffed with randomized loot boxes. But even if that's fine for you, what about the third-party websites which, against TOS, allow full gambling based on a kid's game? And yes, there are actual kids gambling on these apps.
Right, I just won a bit of profit there. I had 200 Robux. No, I had 200 Robux in profit, 100 Robux in profit, but I lost them, but I had 50 Robux, and I lost it, and I thought I got 50 Robux again. So on this, mine's on Robux World, what I'm going to do is buy 40 crates now. Not 40 crates, but like four crates. That looks good, this one. Let's go. Let's go. We're in profit. Let's go.
It is absolutely disgusting to see that. And look, I spoke to an insider who worked on this website, Roblox Wild, before it got shut down. He shared data which claimed they made $5,000 a day, or roughly $2 million a year. Thankfully, this website got shut down, but third-party gambling sites still persist because copying casinos makes a ton of money. And that's why we've been putting it into everything, including our politics. Prediction markets are the answer to the question of what if we could YOLO on election results and world events? The biggest websites are Polymarket and Kalshi, which have exploded in popularity during the American election cycle. But it isn't just major events that attract bettors. I was recently asked to investigate whether this was a suit that Zelensky was wearing. Why? Well, the prediction market had bet $200 million in betting volume on this bet, and some of them were really mad that they decided, no, this is not a suit, I guess. Whether you think it is or not, the volume of betting here is insane. And one reason for that is because these companies are exploiting loopholes that allow betting even in states where normal gambling is illegal. Because these companies say they're not a casino, so they don't fall under the same rules. Which is why instead of having to be 21, you can now gamble at 18 on prediction markets. And while there have been legal challenges to this, both of the major companies, Kalshi and Polymarket, have recently brought on the president's son as an advisor, making it hard to see how they're going to be meaningfully regulated. Meanwhile, all the major betting apps are busy launching their own prediction market copycats to get around the same weak rules that we still have regarding betting. And don't even get me started on the other loopholes that are out there. Have you ever heard of the TikTok of sports wagering?
This is Cheddar. We're building the TikTok of sports wagering.
Legal in 20 more states than DraftKings. Accessible for 18 to 21-year-olds. Live, in-game, micro-betting. Swipe to predict every moment of every play.
I'm going to stop you right there. If you missed it, Cheddar is a new startup trying to combine DraftKings, TikTok, and Tinder features into one app. And one of the things they brag about is they're allowing 18 to 21-year-olds as a competitive edge. Guys, can you believe the untapped market of teenagers for gambling? Now, to be fair, Cheddar has not launched yet, but this is obviously the future we're heading towards, turning everything into a maximally addictive gambling product.
It's sports wagering with the pace of a slot machine.
Yeah. Isn't that the most dystopian thing you've ever heard? We're trying to turn sports betting into slot machines. I mean, the funny thing is this whole product is built around yet another loophole called a sweepstakes casino. And that's how they get around the 21-year-old age requirement. Here's how it basically works. Sweepstakes casinos claim that you don't actually need to purchase anything to play. So it's kind of not gambling. In fact, you can get free coins to access their games, but they also have a second currency, which you can buy. Well, not buy, you get it for free when you buy the worthless coins. For example, their website says if you buy 100 cheddar coins, you get 5 bonus cheddar cash. And that's usually what you can gamble with and redeem for real money. This is actually how Stake US works. If you didn't know, Stake International is one of the world's largest casinos, but they aren't allowed here in the United States. So they have an American arm, which is a sweepstakes casino, which has gold coins and stake cash. One Redditor explains how the loophole really works. Quote, one stake cash is one USD. They only use gold coins because they need to say that you aren't gambling with real money to stay open in the US. Except, of course, you are actually gambling with real money. They just have a virtual currency workaround, which basically everyone has figured out. Some casinos are just kind of more honest about it than others. Cheddar's basically saying the quiet part out loud. They're going after 18 to 21-year-olds with TikTok, Tinder, sports betting at the pace of slots. And by the way, people are betting on their success. They're actually in a cohort of startups invested in by a Silicon Valley investment firm called A16Z. But if you think that's a bad idea, now let's talk about banks and gambling. I recently made a video on Yada, which was a fintech, which is a complicated story. We've done a ton of work on here and here. But basically, the original pitch was a no-lose lottery, which gamified savings. Lots of YouTubers worked with them, and they acted like a bank, at least at first, until they switched their new business model to be about allowing you to gamble inside the app and lose money, essentially becoming a casino within what is essentially a bank account. Now, I should actually note that Yada recently shut down the banking side and have fully focused on the sweepstakes casino part. I guess it's a more profitable business, but it's a sign of the times that everyone is moving their app more towards gambling. And finance is going the same way. On August 19, 2025, the investing app Robinhood announced they are bringing sports betting prediction markets to their app. In the announcement, the vice president of Robinhood claimed sports betting was a, quote, no-brainer, as we aim to make Robinhood a one-stop shop for all your investing and trading needs. AKA, we noticed people were leaving to other apps. We don't like that. We'd like you to never leave our app. Now, ironically, the very next day, FanDuel, a sports betting app, announced they were bringing stock market betting to their customers.
But I will ask you about what some call the gamification of markets. Why this move? Why FanDuel? Why now?
For us to have a partner like FanDuel and be able to have 14 million accounts on day one. I'm not becoming a casino, contrary to popular opinion. I didn't buy a casino. These are markets that will be offered to the general public, and we think is massively exciting what it could do.
And you couldn't have a more perfect image of how finance is embracing the casinos and vice versa. Actually, correction, you can have a more perfect image, because after I wrote this, the New York Stock Exchange's owner invested $2 billion into Polymarket. So actually, this is the perfect image of where we are. And a result is a lot of young people now see the stock market as kind of more like a betting market. The most popular group on Reddit is personal finance with about 21 million followers. In second place, Wall Street Bets, where gambling on the stock market is embraced and celebrated. It grew the most during the meme stock craze of 2020, which shifted how some people thought about investing. Instead of being driven by earnings, prices, or fundamentals, people gambled on memes, attention, and vibes. People are chasing bigger returns and taking on bigger risks to do so. One measure of this is the amount of debt people are taking out to invest. Margin debt is at an all-time high of $1 trillion, which even on an inflation-adjusted basis is near all-time highs and up 5x over the last few decades. Not only that, the rapid growth of zero-day options by retail traders is also a telltale sign. It's grown 5x in volume over 5 years, showing that people are trying to gamble more. Zero-day options are the stock trader equivalent of red or black at the casino. Fast action, massive wins or losses on a single day. But if the stock market is America's casino, then meme coins are basically the back alley bookie who will break your legs. Bigger price swings, faster action, meme coins are even more degenerate than meme stocks and pump and dump usually within a single day. Among the people who trade these, Pump.fun is the leading destination as the one-click launchpad. Anyone can make a meme coin in seconds and there is no value in it other than the expectation that someone might be more foolish than you and buy at a higher price than you did. And of course, Pump.fun is happy to take a cut and make most of the money. Most traders will lose, but now you can also get a cut if you're a content creator who pushes one of these coins. We've seen the same thing from launchpads like Meteora. They allow creators to have a split of some of the trading fees, and it kind of democratizes the grift. Now, anyone can farm their followers and fans for money. You don't have to be particularly sophisticated. And that's actually how Trump made millions of dollars in fees with Trump Meme Coin without ever selling. He just farmed the fees. And to be clear, this money doesn't magically appear. It's being siphoned away from regular people who mostly lose. It creates a sad ecosystem where most creators are racing to the bottom for attention to get their audiences to pump their worthless coins, leading to a predictable spiral where most are scamming, rage baiting, or otherwise trying to shock each other into becoming the biggest grift of the day.
That's a good dream.
Thanks for the 20 bandos.
It's ripping.
What? Brooklyn! Brooklyn!
If you've ever heard of a zero-sum game where someone has to win for the other one to lose, meme coins are negative sum because of all the trading fees. Most people, by definition, will lose. The real winner, of course, is Pump.fun and people pushing it. According to one analysis, they've generated revenues of over $800 million for themselves, while almost none of the traders have made significant profits. According to one analysis, 0.4% of all traders will ever make over $10,000. So almost no one. And look, the reason we're going through all of this is to explain the many ways that gambling is no longer just about slots, cards, brick and mortar, casinos. We've injected it into every conceivable aspect of our lives. And that has two effects. One, it's inescapable. You cannot avoid gambling by avoiding Vegas anymore. It's literally everywhere. And then two, it's also harder to understand and study because most researchers are studying like casinos, sports betting, but so much of gambling is not that anymore. So as we get to the numbers of this stuff, remember, everything's going to be an undercount, but it is still important to talk about those casinos, and that's where we're going to shift now. Starting with the biggest trend that has happened for these casinos, and number two on our reason, which is sports gambling becoming legalized. Rewind the clocks for a second back to 2018 when the Supreme Court overturned a federal ban. At the time, basically, you could only sports bet in Nevada. But after this, you can see in a few years, we've completely flipped on the issue. Most states now allow sports betting. And along with that, the advertising budgets for these companies is absolutely enormous. DraftKings, FanDuel, Underdog, PrizePicks, they've spent hundreds of millions of dollars getting celebrities and influencers to push their product every year. And man, has it worked. As I'm writing this, the number one sports app on the App Store is not sports. It's not ESPN. ESPN and the NFL are second and third. The number one sports app is actually DraftKings. And in the top 10, half of those apps are sports betting, which is insane. There are two reasons for this. Obviously, one, hundreds of millions in advertising. But the second is what are called inducements, which is when these apps will incentivize players to download them and place a bet, sometimes literally offering what seems like free money.
It's got an NFL offer.
Don't play with me.
Just turn $5 into $150 in bonus bets.
New customers bet $5, get $300 in bonus bets if you win.
New customers get risk-free bets up to $2,000.
Now look, the reason casinos do this is kind of obvious. If they can make you place one bet, they're more likely to place the second, third, and 100th. But even setting aside the fine print of these weird offers, does it not strike anyone else as weird that we're allowing gambling companies to give away free stuff? Imagine the cigarette industry told you, buy your first pack, get 50 free packs free to get you started. Imagine Budweiser said, shotgun one, they'll send you a case for fun. It's insane. And yet, that's exactly what these sports betting apps are doing. It's the lifeblood of how they get new players. And once you're in, these apps will also cater to their biggest players, biggest losers, called VIPs. They will send them gifts as they spend their life savings. And there have been multiple lawsuits actually about this. And to make it worse, if you do the opposite and you actually win too much on these apps, they will try to limit your betting, as one investigation found.
If you show any real ability to effectively handicap a game and beat the sportsbook, they will limit your bets and essentially kick you out of the sportsbook. They will not let you win.
Can you talk to me a little bit about how sportsbooks treat you once you start winning?
They don't want to accept your bets.
Yeah, it turns out the casinos actually hate the exact player that's featured in all of their advertisements, the guy who actually wins too much money. Which is actually so crooked when you think about it, that if you're one of the few people who achieves what they're promoting, they actually don't want you. Now, as I was writing this story, another massive scandal actually broke in the sports betting world, which is even more corrupt than not allowing winners.
But as you now know, individuals such as Chauncey Billups, Damon Jones, and Terry Rozier were taken into custody today, former, current NBA players and coaches. What you don't know is that this is an illegal gambling operation and sports rigging operation that spanned the course of years.
That's right. The FBI just exposed a massive sports rigging scheme that was using these apps to win money on rigged basketball games. One example of this was March 23rd, 2023, when an NBA player, Terry Rozier, told a friend ahead of time that he was going to go out early on a foot injury. And so that night, $200,000 in bets were placed on his underperformance because no one else knew that he was injured. And a few minutes after Terry kind of limping around, he left the game and the bets paid off. A few days later, Terry Rozier and his friend allegedly counted the money at his house from the fraudulent wagering scheme. And this was one of several rigged games the FBI alleged. But the media was quick to point out, this isn't even the first time someone was caught doing something like this.
Jonte Porter, who played for the Toronto Raptors, has already pled guilty. He's already pled guilty. He's awaiting sentencing for doing just what Rozier and Jones are accused of. So this train has already left the station, Laura. And I have to tell you, when Jeff Teague, NBA player, says, oh, there's betting everywhere. It is everywhere. I've done ads for DraftKings. LeBron James has done ads for DraftKings. In fact, ESPN, when they were reporting this story this morning, they're having programming, people talking just like you and me, talking about this scandal on the press conference the FBI was giving. And underneath them on the ticker was an ad for ESPN Bet, which is ESPN's own sports book.
Yeah, the irony of all of this is that the same people who condemn illegal betting going on are simultaneously pushing the sports books, which create the opportunity. And at some point, the producers on ESPN actually noticed it. And see if you can spot the moment they try to fix the sports book ad in the corner.
You hear a lot about legal sports gambling on this show. The Bussin' Boys, obviously sports gambling is a huge part of what you do. So we put those all out there as a preamble because it might be in the back of people's minds. And we acknowledge that this is a different time and place. However, there is a fine line, not so fine, there is a bold line that obviously has to be drawn.
Well, that's a little awkward. You're actually supposed to remove the ad for sports betting before talking about sports rigging? And honestly, we've only hit the tip of the iceberg here because we've since learned these professional leagues are useless at catching this stuff. Turns out the NBA already investigated Terry Rozier before the FBI indictment for that exact game, and they cleared him because the NBA commissioner said there was insufficient evidence.
Ultimately concluded that there was insufficient evidence despite that aberrational behavior to move forward.
Right. So even with aberrational activity, they had the right game, the right guy, and the NBA couldn't find enough evidence. I mean, the more money that goes into sports betting, the more this will be a problem, and the leagues are clearly not equipped to handle it. But people just look the other way because the money's too good. And I want to now address the size of these betting markets because they're absolutely enormous in ways most people don't understand. And to get our heads around it, we're going to look at some survey numbers. One study estimates that 22% of all Americans and almost half of men my age have an online sports betting account. Another estimates that 1 in 4 people have placed a bet on sports and 1 in 5 have placed a bet in the last year. Like with all surveys, there's margins of error here, but the data mostly agrees. Sports betting is very widespread and extremely popular among young men. And for the ones who get addicted, it's financially devastating. One recent study looked at Americans' finances before and after sports betting was legalized by their state. They found that bankruptcy rates rise approximately 10% after legalization. Another paper looked at financial stability, noting that for households that do bet, they spend on average about $720 a year sports betting. And the study found that for every dollar someone deposits for betting, there's a reduction in net investments of just under a dollar. As people gamble more, they invest less, which means their financial future is worse. Makes sense. But this is especially true of problem gamblers or gambling addicts. To be clear, this is not something that affects all gamblers. Roughly 1% of the world population suffers from this. It's more common among people who bet regularly and bet online, two of the things that sports gambling encourages. Problem gambling completely obliterates people's finances and affects more than just the gambler, because as they beg, borrow, or steal to continue their addiction, they affect everyone around them. And I do mean steal. Roughly half of gambling addicts will commit a crime, and most of those crimes are to continue gambling, often leading to a spiral where the addict doesn't see a way out, which is why problem gambling has one of the highest suicide rates of any substance addictions. Full stop.
I don't get it. You know none of this matters, right?
Yeah.
You've tried this before with Rubet, CS2, and it did nothing.
Yep.
No, literally, I mean nothing. Absolute silence. All the moralizing, the anti-gambling, you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
Let me tell you a story. A year ago, I was offered $20,000 to do a video by Casino. Now, I said no and made a whole series about it, but what I didn't tell you is that later I was offered $1 million to cover my legal fees in an ongoing case. Now, this was offered by a person who said they wanted to remain anonymous, no strings attached, very nice person. They said they wanted to just help out. Sounds great. But then I found out the money was coming from a sports betting company. They were one of the top people, and that's obviously a dilemma for me. I am publicly against gambling, and here this person's kind of privately telling me, well, gambling can pretty much solve all my problems. Pay my legal fees, you know, they're telling me, oh, their company's regulated, it's fine, it's above board. Ultimately, I had to say no. Thank you for the offer, but, you know, in my head, there's no such thing as $1 million, no strings attached. And, you know, obviously, I also can't take $1 million from a sports betting company and then go make a video criticizing sports betting. But it gave me pause and kind of gave me an aha moment that I was missing before, where I started to understand exactly how screwed we are. And this goes into our third reason: gambling is winning. The casual way these casinos can throw around life-changing money for any normal person is why the data will never fix this. It's why having enough sad facts about addicts or interviewing people whose lives were ruined will not change things. Believe me, I've done it, and it's never moved the needle. To be honest, it's not even debatable that gambling is kind of bad for most people and life-destroying for a few. Even the industry kind of admits that. But the reason gambling is everywhere in spite of that is there is too much money in the game benefiting the people that make the final decisions, right? Think about the states with tax revenue, the casino profits, the influencer payouts. There's a small group that gambling is incredible for. So incredible, it basically defies logic. I'm talking billions of dollars in profits. And if you want to understand why gambling is everywhere, you can't just look at the statistics. You have to look at the money. And I want to show you exactly how this works with an example. This is Matthew. He's better known online as NateShot, and recently he took a gambling deal with an offshore crypto casino. And when he first talks about the deal, I want you to notice it's a little strange. He almost seems hesitant.
Boys, we just partnered with Rubet, and before I say anything, don't gamble, okay? You will lose. I promise you, you're gonna lose. But that's why I partnered with Rubet, so they can pay me to gamble. So even when I lose, I'm still gonna lose.
Yeah, it's pretty weird to hear someone say, don't gamble, guys, while announcing a partnership with a gambling company. NateShot implies that he may lose money, but in fact, he later admits that it's the most money he's ever been paid.
This is the biggest partnership that I've had in my entire career.
No, instead, I think the hesitancy, the weirdness of this video is because NateShot knows pushing gambling is kind of bad for people. He said so in a podcast a couple years ago.
I definitely think that people streaming on Twitch, all the crypto betting, certainly incentivizes younger kids to be more interested in crypto gambling. Like, I know personally people that should not have been gambling online, but because it's so easy to gamble with crypto, they did it when they could not afford to do it, and it has not worked out well for them.
Right. Nate Shot knows personally it's bad. But for the reason why he's doing it anyways, just fast forward 2 minutes in the podcast and we find out, because the host asks, you know, a hypothetical. What if someone offered Nate Shot $100 million to promote gambling? And well, let's just say his tone changed.
Yeah. I ain't turning down $100 million, yeah. Bro. You got me up, brother. I'll go on there and I will crypto gamble 24/7, dude. At that point, man, it's the parents' fault. Hey, I'm just working over here. You're going to pay me more than LeBron? Brother, I would be lighting up cash on fire gambling crypto. I would sell my soul for 100 M's. Are you fucking kidding me, dude?
We should clip this. We should send this over to Kit.
I won't sleep. I will be your workhorse. You want me to pump blue chews and crypto gambling? I will do it all. You got me fucked up. Them kids, dude. Fuck them kids.
Look, I'm just going to say, you can say he's wrong for saying that. He's a bad person for saying that. But the reality is, this is why gambling is winning. The casinos have so much money, they are buying people's souls. Even people who kind of admit gambling's kind of bad. Put enough money on the table, and Nate Shot says, hey, fuck them kids. And by the way, speaking of fucking them kids, let's talk about Drake.
W's in the shot.
It isn't just streamers or influencers taking deals. It's the biggest rapper on the planet. He signed a reported $100 million deal recently with Stake, the crypto casino, which is wild. There's really no endorsement deals like that anywhere else that hit those kind of numbers. And just like Nate Shot, Drake wants you to know that, you know, even though he's taking the money, gambling isn't for everyone. Recently, he posted an $8 million loss, saying, gotta share the other side of gambling. Now, maybe some of you think that's brave, but to me, I see that and go, Drake, that is the only side of gambling for most people. If any normal person lost $8 million, their life is over and their legs are broken. You're the only one with another side to this whole thing. Where, to be clear, that other side is reportedly getting paid $100 million. And to be clear, like, it's a lot of people taking these deals. I'm not trying to single anyone out. You know, let's also take Kevin Hart, right? One of the world's smallest comedians. He pushes DraftKings. And this one I find really bizarre.
Do me a favor, man. Go to the DraftKings app. Look at what I'm betting on. Look at why I'm betting on. Place your bets. All the action is here. DraftKings. Kevin Hart.
I'm not even going to ask why Kevin needs you to get on DraftKings and bet. Like, the fact is he's worth a reported $450 million. But the real thing I find so gross about this is that Kevin Hart has gone on podcasts and talked about the need for financial literacy. You know, he talked about this on Joe Rogan.
The biggest problem within our community is knowledge. We don't know. Debt is welcomed because it's celebrated. That's all we know. The knowledge isn't given. So it's not till you obtain that knowledge and understanding that you go, oh, shit. Oh, this is why you put money up. This is how you increase versus decrease. Oh, this is how you earn on your money. Oh, wow. I can gain wealth by investing in what? The stock world is what? How many people partake in the stock world? And is there a part that isn't necessarily gambling? Is there a low risk part? The information isn't there.
Yeah, Kev, maybe the information isn't there on the stock market part, which isn't gambling, because you're too busy telling them about actual gambling. Understand that Kevin Hart is not just a guy who sometimes talks about it on podcasts either. He has a whole partnership, an actual partnership with Chase Bank, where they ran a campaign to improve financial literacy. But then Kevin goes on the side and he's pushing DraftKings, which preys on people's financial illiteracy. And while we're talking about small comedians with big bank accounts, let's talk about Joe Rogan too. And listen, I'm not trying to be high and mighty with all this stuff. I know it sounds a bit like that, but believe me, I am eye level with these guys, okay? I'm very short too. You can't tell behind the $10 million studio desk, but no offense is intended here. We got to discuss though how the biggest comedians in the world, biggest, smallest comedians, are pushing DraftKings. Didn't Joe get a $250 million deal from Spotify? I didn't realize before this video, like, how many gambling ads he has been running recently. In the month of September alone, there were 11 DraftKings ads in 14 videos. And with Joe especially, it's weird because he's the guy who rants against Big Pharma's manipulative advertising.
If you can advertise, you can manipulate people and change their opinion based on theatrics.
So many...
Everyone gets a free bet.
We all want to win. Hey, let's win together.
You know what to do.
You have music and people dancing and holding hands and spinning around in a wheat field. Like, that is so manipulative.
And
we are subject to manipulation. And when it's something that is so important, like making critical health decisions, there's so many of these commercials. Like, so many times I'm watching television, I'm like, how many goddamn drug commercials are there?
By the way, I agree with him. We are being manipulated. But change a few words from that rant, and you could say the exact same thing about how gambling is pushed. Casinos are also manipulative. They don't advertise the actual reality where people lose. Instead, they say things like winning, cashing in, opportunity. And Joe Rogan's a part of that.
Every game is another chance to cash in. Don't just watch the action. Win with it. Every snap is loaded with opportunity.
That is just as manipulative as pharma ads pushing pills that may end up addicting you. In both cases, the collateral damage are the addicts we created along the way. And I guess I have to ask, maybe people think, oh, one's worse than the other. Is there that much of a difference between a drug addict and a gambling addict? No, really, I'm asking.
It's like if you see the drug addict, you see him, he's shooting up or whatever it is, and you see him fainting, you go, oh, that poor bastard. But when you see a guy who's fully in the grips of gambling, trying to figure out how to get his money back, and he's all jazzed up with adrenaline, he doesn't understand why.
It's just like cocaine, it's just like drug abuse, it's just like the opiate problem, it's just like anything else. It can make you and I both know people who have lost their lives gambling. Okay, you've seen people in pool halls. You see how they get, Joe Rogan. Man. There's no difference in the drug addict than the gambling addict.
No
Not
difference.
At all. No difference.
So there is no difference. Then why do we shake our head at the Sackler family and pharmaceutical execs who push pills that ruin people's lives, but somehow nobody cares we're doing a very similar thing with gambling? At every level of society, we are shoving this down people's throats. And it's not that I mind if people gamble individually, but we are pushing it on people who otherwise would not have done it, because everything is gambling now, from sports to entertainment to investing. It is totally inescapable, and we're moving the casino from Vegas directly into people's pockets, connecting to their bank accounts. I don't know exactly how this is going to end, but it doesn't take a genius to see where it's going to lead. Gambling is going to be a much larger problem for people, and especially young men. And the saddest part is, there's no amount of data or facts that I can give you that's going to stop that. There's just too much money at stake.
And let me fix you a drink. The weather isn't changing anytime soon.
You know, all it would take is basic advertising rules or legislative change to put a stop to half of this stuff.
That's the thing. Money makes the world move, Coffee. And the people who write the rules like them just the way they are.
Do you really think it's worth all of this, though? Like, just for a little more money?
Hey, you said it yourself, didn't you? It's not just a little money. It's a lot more money. If people would sell their soul for $100 million, well, imagine what they'd do for billions.
You know, maybe it is time for that drink.
You're gonna tip this time, right?